This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yeah, I'd say the trade didn't work out for the Denver Broncos, nor for Russell Wilson. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. Don't mind us. We're just trying to come up with reality shows here in a break, talking about this show. We're going to get to this Russ thing. This Love is Blind is taking over the world.
I'm so into it.
My wife is obsessed with this. So many people are obsessed with this that CeCe and I are literally trying to come up with a reality show to equal it. Like, he's coming up with what? That you have to live where?
You have to live in your significant other's hometown.
Okay. And I came up with a dumb one, which is that you can't hear the person and you don't know if they speak the same language.
So if you don't speak the same language.
Like, yeah. In other words, you're just
trying to date, overcoming the language barrier.
Yeah.
So you're just looking at them visually?
Well, it's the opposite of Love is Blind,
I think,
right?
Those are called, yeah. That's called dating apps, Evan.
Back to you, Bob.
Or you just look at pictures of people and you decide if you like them.
Love at first sight.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's why I'm a radio host and not TV producer, I guess.
But you should watch Love is Blind.
It's like dating and playing charades. Like, yeah. We're trying to figure out what we're talking about, how to speak to each other.
You know, Russell Wilson was kind of like a Love is Blind situation where they thought, hey, you have a lot of the qualities that we want. We're going to bring you in here. But what happens in Love is Blind is they're separated by a wall. They can't really see each other. And then they have to go out into the real world and they have to coexist. And I think that we saw that with Denver. Russell Wilson looked like somebody that would be a great person for the Denver Broncos, that it would be a match, a fruitful marriage, if you will. Mm. But then when they had to go out in the real world and coexist, not so much.
Can I go one step further back, actually?
Yes.
I think you have a Love is Blind with Nathaniel Hackett. I think the Broncos were interviewing him behind a wall thinking Aaron Rodgers was with him.
There you go.
And he's like, wait, you're not going to bring him with you? We don't want you. You don't look like Megan Fox. What's happening here? I mean, which is a reference to that show.
Yeah.
I saw that episode. Well, there was a woman on the show who told the audience that she looked like Megan Fox.
That's how she described herself behind the wall.
Now, she doesn't look like Megan Fox.
No.
But she also, like, I kind of see it a tiny, like 1% she looks like Megan Fox.
Also, she prefaced it by saying, I don't see it, but
yeah,
this
but you
is
bring
what
that up.
Other people told me.
Yeah, but that you can't do that.
No,
she knew what she was doing. She implanted that thought in his head.
No doubt.
When is the finale of that? Tomorrow or something, or today?
I am 2 episodes behind.
Oh, how
I was
dare
watching
you.
It on the plane, and
how
I was very
you.
Invested.
How dare you? All right, so Russell Wilson to the Broncos, people have said, is one of the worst trades in the history of the sport.
Mm.
That there are trades, for some reason, this is a really important stat, they all have guys with W in their last name. Ricky Williams, Russell Wilson, Herschel Walker, and Deshaun Watson. I don't know why. There's a stat that means nothing. But
well, we could also throw in there, it could be. No, I'm not. Well, let me not do that. I don't want to be presumptive. I don't want to be presumptive.
You can't do that.
I don't want to be presumptive.
I don't know what's behind the wall now.
I don't want to be
this
presumptive.
This is now host is blind.
Well, we were just talking about Nathaniel Hackett, right?
Right.
What's the other big quarterback trade that he's been linked to recently?
Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Oh, you want to put Rodgers to the Jets is one of the worst trades. It's not far.
It's not.
We're one year away.
This is a trade that could result in the head coach and the GM being fired.
Okay, I'll make a statement
it's
right
another,
now.
Another desperate quarterback, another team desperate for a quarterback.
And not only that, after they have built the entire team around this one guy.
Exactly.
So that's going to set them back much longer.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
I'll do it since you don't want to do it. I'll do it.
Go ahead.
1 year from today. Okay, where we're having the Russell Wilson released by the Broncos conversation, we will have the Aaron Rodgers released by the Jets conversation.
Agreed.
One year from today.
Agreed.
It's going to happen.
Agreed.
There's no path where this is going to work out enough where it's going to be worth continuing. And next year's version of this year's Russell Wilson is going to be Aaron Rodgers.
But remember, when we're doing the postmortem on all of these quarterback trades, we also look at the aftermath with the team that those quarterbacks left. Were the Green Bay Packers for the worse or for the better with Aaron Rodgers out of the building?
Way for the better.
Way for the better.
Way better.
Like we've got a quarterback now that we believe can be a top 10 player at the position, and we were in the divisional round. They won a world playoff game with the youngest roster to make the postseason in a half a century. But those same guys that were with Aaron Rodgers, same dudes.
And should have been the 49ers.
It should have been the 49ers. Same dudes. I'm telling you, we will look back at the Aaron Rodgers trade through a similar light with the Russell Wilson trade, with the Carson Wentz trade, maybe not Deshaun Watson because the draft picks weren't there, but it's ugly times ugly when it comes to that.
But that
just goes to show you, as a cautionary tale, teams that get in bed with these veteran quarterbacks that are available via trade don't ever get what they're paying for.
But with Deshaun Watson, you gave him $230 million guaranteed. Until this point, you've gotten one half of good football.
That's it.
And you talk about the team that he left. Look at the Houston Texans now.
Yeah.
That one's really bad. So, not to mention all the off-field stuff that was connected to him as well.
For sure. I think the Aaron Rodgers trade is going to split the difference of what we've seen with some of the draft pick ones and then the Herschel Walker one. And the reason I say that, the Herschel Walker one, you have to play the results and mention that that won the Cowboys 3 Super Bowls.
No doubt.
Right? The Seahawks, in my opinion, are not going to win a Super Bowl anytime soon. They're just not. I don't believe that they're going to win a Super Bowl. So I don't think the Russell Wilson trade is putting them over the top. The Texans may, right? So the Texans one, let's wait and see. Because
with
they have
CJ Stroud.
Elite quarterback, elite head coach. Those are usually good formulas, right? This one's really interesting. So the Packers one does not give Green Bay tons of assets in return, but I think they're going to win a Super Bowl soon. I don't think they're that far away. And here's the other thing. We both made this statement just now about Rodgers 1 year from now without actually deep diving to numbers. Let's look at numbers for a second. Do you know that his cap hit in 2024, this upcoming season, is 17.1? That's an insane value for theoretically for Rodgers. Well, in 2025, it's 51.5. And so if you dead cap that on a post-June 1, not to get too specific, but that goes down to $14 million in 25 and 35 in 26. Okay? So that's a no-brainer. And by the way, out of respect to Rodgers, even if it falls apart this year, if Aaron Rodgers becomes next year's Russell Wilson of this year, Aaron Rodgers on a $1.2 million deal at 42 years old is ridiculous value if you want him in your building. Which I actually think right now more teams would want, arguably, Russell Wilson in their building
no
than Aaron Rodgers.
There's no question in my mind.
Russell Wilson actually proved last year to, even though he and Sean Payton did not click, he was coachable last year. It wasn't what Sean Payton wanted out of the player, but he was able to coach him in a way that I think was different than we anticipated.
But the Broncos are saying we're willing to eat tens of millions of dollars to not have him in the building. I don't know how you arrive at that conclusion. Rodgers may be polarizing and may rub some people the wrong way, but the Jets are building around him still actively. They gave him the keys to the kingdom. And the Broncos are saying, we are going to sacrifice tens of millions of dollars for you to just not be here. That's how much we want this divorce.
Well, let's just give it a year with the Aaron Rodgers of it all. It happened after year two with Russ. Probably going to happen after year two with Rodgers.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. just give it time.
And more people will be taken out as a result of it.
Yeah.
Like George Payton, the general manager of the Broncos, hired Hackett, traded for Russ. They hired Sean Payton, and he's still there somehow, which is actually, I'm not trying to get the guy fired, but that's in today's day and age in the NFL, that's remarkable.
He's now, like one of them Lannisters from Game of Thrones. Just finds a way to survive in
can't
advance.
Shake him. Right? Can't shake those
can't
Lannisters.
Can't get rid of them.
I've never seen an episode of Game of Thrones.
All you need to know is like a cockroach in a nuclear holocaust. They find a way to survive. Sometimes you just have people like that.
All three of them.
No doubt.
Harry Douglas is our teammate. He had an interesting take on Freddie and Harry, weekdays 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern, about Russell Wilson in Denver.
With that number being that large, you no longer dislike Russell Wilson. You hate Russell Wilson, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Like for Sean Payton to, you know,
you
release got, Russell Wilson.
Saying it got personal? What'd you say?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because the man threw for 3,000 yards, completed 66% of his passes, 26 touchdowns to 8 interceptions.
That's not too shabby.
And this football team was still in playoff contention when they went to him about the injury clause in his contract and decided to bench him.
So, see, it's not just about the play that you got from Russell Wilson. It's relative to the cost. Are the numbers that Howie was rattling off worth paying a guy $48.5 million? No. No, there's no world in where that makes sense to pay Russell Wilson the kind of money that was going to cost. It just didn't make sense. Russell Wilson is in line for $39 million in cash. He's not that kind of quarterback anymore. So I get that the numbers, you know, aren't awful, but they aren't great considering how much you're paying him. But that's why I think Russell Wilson will be a tremendous value at another stop this offseason, because the Denver Broncos are on the hook for all of that money, and a team is going to pay him on a minimum salary. And when you got a quarterback that can give you those types of numbers and is only making $1 million, then all of a sudden you got a lot of flexibility in terms of what you can do around that player with the rest of your roster.
No doubt.
But to Harry's point, this does feel personal, and it does feel like a personality clash in a lot of ways, because Russell Wilson did improve last year from year one to year two. And if you're Sean Payton and you thought we can continue to see that growth, this is a guy who won a Super Bowl in Seattle, who has been a really good quarterback at points in his career and was serviceable for me last year. If you felt like you could build on that, I could see a world in which he would want to keep him around rather than hitting the start over button. But this felt like from day one, it was just a bad marriage, and that he's saying, you take the beach house, you take the house, you take the cars. I just don't want to be in this relationship anymore.
See, I don't think it's personal at all. I just think Sean is being a realist with the situation. You're in the same division as Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. Like, Russell Wilson is not putting you any closer to winning the AFC West. He's just not, especially at that number. It's an albatross. It's like an anchor on what the organization can accomplish. So if you can look at it with sober eyes and be honest about it, you're better off moving on from him and eating the dead money, knowing that the salary cap is going up exponentially. Again, the cap went up $31 million this year. It could potentially go up even more next year with more revenue streams coming online. So I just, like, if you're going to eat $85 million over the next couple of years, this next two-year span that the NFL is going through is a good time to do it in. And so I think they can absorb that, especially if they find a younger, cheaper option at the quarterback position that can give them, you know, similar productivity in terms of what they're doing individually, but then also what the offense could do.
Then based on everything you just said, I'll just add one thing that I believe then. Okay, what you just said, if you're looking at it through the prism of Mahomes and Herbert with Harbaugh, then trade everyone this year. Take the entire hit this year. Don't spread it out. Trade Jerry Jeudy. Trade Sutton. Trade everybody that's good. And you got to tank. Go into tank mode. I mean, is there an argument for that? You're going to have to take the cap hit anyway over the next 85 million cap hit has to be spread
you're
out
not,
somehow.
You're not wrong. I will just say this. It's actually human beings out there, right? You know what I mean?
I get
like,
it.
Like there are human beings out there. There are guys that the coach is asking to put themselves in harm's way in order to try to compete. And so if you're Sean Payton, you got to give those guys something. And it's not Jarrett Stidham as QB1 going into training camp.
Yeah, he may be too good for a tank.
Well, I don't know about that. But all I'm simply saying is this. Like, I just – players and coaches don't tank. Organizations usually tank.
Yep.
So I don't know that Sean Payton is going to take on that mentality that, hey, I'm not going to have a team that's good enough to compete with those guys. He's going to take the approach of, I'm going to find players wherever they are in the draft, wherever they are in free agency. I'm going to find players that represent value that can put our team in a situation where I can compete with those squads. As unrealistic as we might think it is
right
at the outset, Sean doesn't feel that way.
Understood.
Because remember, they felt like it was unrealistic to take a shot on a quarterback like Drew Brees with the medical history coming from the San Diego Chargers once upon a time. Drew Brees has a Hall of Fame career with Sean Payton.
You're being 1,000% fair.
So it doesn't matter. Sean doesn't care what it looks like.
Right.
You know what I mean? He doesn't care what it looks like. But I do think him pulling the ripcord on Russell Wilson speaks volumes about where he thinks Russell Wilson's career is headed.
You're 1,000% right. The only reason I even went there is you said, let's look at it through the prism of going up against Mahomes and Justin Herbert four times a year. That's 0-4. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance flexes to fit your business's needs, from quick repairs to adjustable coverage and even payment options. Progressive Commercial makes it easy to get what you need. A quote today in as little as 6 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL reporter, joins us here in studio. We learned so much from him normally. Well, today I learned something about him, that you're a great basketball player, per sources close to me. That you dominate ESPN pickup games. Is that true, Fowler?
Dominate is not true. I'm okay. I get around a little bit on the court. But I got the old man game at this point, you know. shakes and spins and pump fakes. I got to get it that way.
Good for you. All right. All right.
Now you're giving people the dream shake.
Yeah, seriously. Who knew? All right, now let's learn from you here. So we know the big news yesterday. Obviously, the Broncos, Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
What's next for both? Where's Russ going, and what are the Broncos going to do?
Yeah, so I talked to somebody close to Russell, kind of involved in the process, who said that he's going to prioritize not only winning, but infrastructure for winning. Because in, you know, Denver, they, even though they won Super Bowls, they didn't really have that in recent years with all the quarterback struggles they've had. So he wants to go somewhere where he knows he can get back to a Super Bowl. So I don't know if he's going to have enough selections of teams wanting to sign him yet for him to be that choosy, but certainly that's what he wants. And he's going to be attractive because I'm told he's fully willing to be flexible with the money, where, you know, Denver owes the $39 million. He theoretically can sign for the league minimum somewhere. I don't know if it's going to end up being that, but I know he's definitely eager to help his new team to make himself attractive, where they can go sign other pieces with that money they'd be saving. Instead of paying, say, Kirk Cousins $40 million, you'd pay Russell, say, I don't know, one or three or whatever it is, right? So teams are going to look at that, and that's going to be enticing for them. So, you know, you look at the Raiders, could be a fit. I mean, lots got to shake out depending on what Kirk Cousins does, though. That's a domino that has to drop.
And it feels like there's a lot of momentum for Kirk Cousins coming out of the combine to the Atlanta Falcons. What more can you tell us on that front? Are they interested? Who are some of the other teams that could be players for Cousins' services if he doesn't stay in Minnesota?
Yeah, there's some interest there. That is the feeling coming out of the combine, for sure, like to echo your sentiment. I felt that. Most people I talk to believe Atlanta will come away with one of these three, either Cousins, Justin Fields, Baker Mayfield. That's kind of the feeling. Now, most expect Mayfield to go back to Tampa. They just re-signed Mike Evans. They're going to try to keep that group together. But, you know, if Baker gets a free agent, there'd be interest there too. And here's the domino, right? Like if Cousins goes to, say, Atlanta, I think Minnesota will have some interest in Mayfield at that point if he's available. So, you know, they could also draft a guy and reset everything. So they have options that they've thought about. But I don't get the sense that Minnesota is, like, they want to re-sign Cousins, but I don't think it's live or die clamoring to have to do it. Like, they've been through this song and dance for 6 years with Cousins, spent a lot of money. I don't know if they want to get those sort of full guarantees that he's gotten in the past. So something's going to come to a head there.
Jeremy, I just want to follow up with the Baker Mayfield of it all. How does Antoine Winfield Jr. factor into the timing of the decision that Tampa has to make in trying to get a deal done before the new year?
So my understanding is the Bucs are talking with Antoine Winfield right now. They are not talking with Baker Mayfield right now, but part of that's just logistics because the tag ends today at 4 o'clock. So if they can shake some out of Winfield, great. If not, they're going to tag him most likely. Then that gives them the rest of the week to address Mayfield, because then they will have addressed two of the three big ones, because Evans is signed. Winfield will theoretically at least be signed for 1 year at that point. And you see what you can do with Mayfield. And that, you know, they still got left tackle. Tristan Wirfs is one of the best in the game. Mm-hmm. He's a year for Frazee. Yep. They need to sign him this offseason. They got major decisions over that. Lavonte David's still a good player. He's a free agent. So, like, they're keeping the band back together and probably going to spend $100+ million on a team that went 9-8, but it is trending upward.
Jeremy, we talked about Baker Mayfield. We talked about Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson. Yeah. What's the market like for Justin Fields?
It's hard to figure out, Michelle. I would say there's certainly a market, but teams seem to be strategic in waiting this out a little bit because, you know, they know that Chicago most likely is taking Caleb Williams or a quarterback at number one. So they're slow playing it. You know, Chicago's sort of forced in a corner. People know that they have to trade him. You know, it could get to a point where Fields and his camp sort of apply some pressure, maybe create sort of a wish list of places they would want to go. I think it'd be the usual suspects of teams that need a quarterback, whether it's Atlanta, you know, Minnesota, Vegas, Pittsburgh. And all that still has to shake out. So it seems like there could be a scenario where Cousins is the first domino and then Fields comes after that. There's not a lot of momentum coming out of the combine. I thought there would be more with maybe a sort of a defined team, but I don't see one right now. Most teams I talk to still think he's got a good market at the end of the day. He'll be worth probably a day two pick, second or third, and they'll go from there.
Talk with Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL reporter here on Unsportsmanlike. Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Is there a curveball? Like, is there something that you could see maybe happening that people haven't talked much about? Mm. We've discussed the idea of Dak Prescott not necessarily getting traded, but maybe asking out for a contract purpose. Is there a curveball? Is there a curveball that we could anticipate here?
I don't think it's Dak. I think they'll work that out. Like, Minnesota Mayfield will sort of my curveball. We'll see. What was the other one I was thinking about the other day? Seattle. Maybe going high with a quarterback in the draft. Mm-hmm. I sense a little bit of that first-round quarterback, perhaps. I mean, this is the time to take their swing. They loaded up on all those players in the Russell Wilson trade. They got a good roster. Geno Smith for one more year, but he can be a good bridge to somebody else. That's one I'm watching. Maybe like a J.J. McCarthy type.
I like that. That's a good one.
I mean, Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, stay there. Stay there.
That would be great.
Oh, yeah.
Just out of curiosity, I know this franchise tag day. We're seeing guys get the tags applied to them.
Yep.
Carolina Panthers with Brian Burns are cut off negotiations with him yesterday. L'Jarius Sneed, T. Higgins. I mean, are these teams tagging these guys with the hopes of being able to sign them to long-term deals, or are we talking about trades in those situations?
It depends on the team. In L'Jarius Sneed's case, they're definitely looking to trade him. And – you know, the spirit of the franchise tag is to do a long-term deal.
Sure.
But that doesn't always happen, right?
No.
So if you're Kansas City, if you lose L'Jarius Sneed to free agency, you're going to get a compensatory pick, but it might be like a late third-round pick. This is Kansas City sort of beating the system and saying, hey, we'll try to get a second-round pick in a trade instead and get more than we would if we just let him walk. So you see the list there. Antoine Winfield Jr., they're talking, trying to get a deal. We'll see if that shakes out. You know, Jalen Johnson and the Bears, they are trying to do something before 4 p.m. today on a long-term extension, so that's on the radar. Michael Pittman, a little bit of the same. Pittman's going to be tough. You see him there because the wide receiver market, we saw Mike Evans put up a big number the other day, $26 million a year. You got Amon-Ra St. Brown with Detroit. He'll be higher than that. CeeDee Lamb will be higher than that. Yeah. So Pittman can just wait, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why would you take their offer right now? It's probably going to be too low.
Jeremy, we know that you were at the Combine, and you said that you are assuming, as most of us are, that Caleb Williams will go number one to Chicago. Who do you have as that number two quarterback? Coming out of the Combine, who is getting more traction, Drake May or Jaden Daniels?
It's tough because you talk to teams, they're kind of split on it, honestly. It does seem that Jalen Daniels has more momentum now than maybe I thought he would a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So if I had to pick a betting favorite, I'd probably pick Jaden at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I still... And teams I talk to have a hard time with this, too. Like, Drake May's traits are really high level. Are you going to pass on that? You know, like, if you love height, weight, arm speed, or arm strength, all those things, it's going to be hard to pass on him. I'll believe it when I see it with him not going number two.
Jeremy, there are some people that believe that the Washington Commanders could do anything at number two, including trading down. Do you think that there's any realistic scenario where the Commanders would actually consider trading that pick?
I could see it in the sense that if it's just a massive offer for a team that clearly has to rebuild. But they already have five picks in the top 100, so they don't have to overreact. That's why, look, when GM Adam Peters took the job, I'm all but certain that he said, okay, I love the second-best quarterback in the draft, and he's going to be my franchise guy. And that's incentive to take this job. Like, he's not taking it thinking, oh, I don't know what to do, and maybe I'll trade out. Like, he knows.
Yeah, Josh Harris was sitting in on meetings at the Combine.
Yeah.
When the owner of the team sits in on meetings at the Combine, that is not commonplace. That's not normal.
So, they know who they want to take, and they knew during the interview process for the GM, right? Like, so I'd be shocked if they moved off it. But they are getting calls for that pick, so, you know, maybe they'll get enticed.
He is the Hakeem Olajuwon of ESPN Pickup Games. He's got the dream shake, the old man game. Jeremy Fowler, you'll see him on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus!
Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
He's the most intimidating hitter on teams he's never played for. If he were to charge the mound, pitchers would thank him. When he steals second, the opposing team cheers. He is the most interesting man in baseball.
The most interesting man in baseball. We don't know who it is.
But Michelle Smallman is going to lead us on a search to find the most interesting man in baseball, Smalls.
It's my 2024 goal to find the most interesting man in baseball. We had been talking about baseball coverage and things that we wanted to do as the MLB season creeps closer. And one of the issues that I have with baseball guys is they don't market their stars in the same way that the NFL does or the NBA does. I always call it the grocery store test. If I went into any grocery store in America and showed 20 people a photo of Patrick Mahomes, they would know who he is.
No doubt.
If I show those same 20 people Mike Trout, are they going to know who he is? Probably not. Maybe half of them will. A fourth of them. I don't know what the number is, but I know all 20 are not going to know
that's
Mike Trout.
That's a high number.
No that, chance.
That's a high half? Number. You
half
think no half?
No chance. No,
okay, no, well, that's even no. more of a reason
Wait,
why we
give
need
me,
to do
give
this.
Me the number of people in the grocery store. 20. Of 20 people in a grocery store, how many? Where is the grocery store?
Anywhere. Oklahoma.
Zero.
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 Zero people in a grocery store by face.
If they show
by face.
Picture,
just
they
a photo of Mike Trout. Who is this?
Is he wearing uniform or just street clothes?
Just street clothes.
No chance. I don't know that I would be able to identify him. Zero.
You could identify him.
I was saying that facetiously. I'm zero.
Yeah, I would have one.
Well, that is even more of a reason why this quest is important.
I don't mean to get angry about this, but here we go.
I would say
there's not one person in Major League Baseball that people could identify without a uniform by face in a grocery store in Oklahoma where there is no baseball team. Not one.
Well, first of all, they have great collegiate baseball in Oklahoma.
There's not a better softball, although they lost the other day. 71-game winning streak.
I saw that.
They lost.
Yes.
But yes, I'm just saying Major
League
Baseball.
So they pay attention to baseball is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no doubt.
You don't think that they could recognize Aaron Judge?
No. No, I don't.
Okay, so this is very important that we do this
exercise.
Do
you think they could recognize Aaron Judge?
I think that there were, out of 20, yes. I think there would be a handful of people that would know Mike Trout.
Grocery store does not indicate sports fan. Grocery store means you need food. It doesn't indicate, this is not you're going to your local sports bar, right? We're talking about the grocery store. All different people, shapes, sizes, right? Ethnicities, genders. I don't care who you are.
Dietary restrictions.
Dietary restrictions, yes. Zero. I think... Not one player in baseball.
Mike Trout looks like a fullback.
He does.
He looks like
a Mike linebacker.
That's football country. If you showed somebody a picture of him, they would believe that he was a football player.
We need somebody.
They would believe that he's a football
with
player.
With that neck, probably.
Yeah, 6'2", 235, neck. He's got football neck for sure.
If they were going to guess,
no
they'd
doubt.
Say, oh, does,
football
he,
player.
Does he play for the Browns or
exactly,
whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we need somebody in Oklahoma to do this for us. To actually stand in a grocery store and
ask
hold a picture.
Survey?
Who is this?
Film it.
Rob, you're going to Oklahoma today. We're going to send
Rob
our digital
City?
Guy.
We could do it here in New York City. Do you think 20 people in a random grocery store in New York City would know Mike Trout?
20 of how many of 20?
How
saying?
Many of 20? Yes.
One or two max. Max.
I'm with you.
Now, Aaron Judge, different story. We're in New York.
But
Harper in Philly, different story. Bryce Harper in Vegas, where he's from, different story.
That's why I use Mike Trout and not Judge, because people here would know.
I'm just sitting here thinking about it. The two MVPs in baseball last year, Ohtani and Acuña Jr. Like, if you showed people their picture in a grocery store in middle America, how many people would know them?
Which is shocking.
That's shocking.
Exactly. And this is why I want to do this exercise to find the most interesting man in baseball. Because as someone who loves baseball, who has been a baseball lover, supporter my entire life, I hate that their stars aren't more recognizable and that we aren't more invested in baseball stars as a collective, as a national audience. So I thought, okay, what's a way to do this? I want to go to every team in baseball. I want to have their fan base weigh in and give us a nominee. And we are going to find the most interesting leading man in baseball. I want to learn about these guys, not only their numbers and why they're a great athlete, but I want to learn about their hobbies. Why are they fun? What's quirky about them? Because we could say that about so many of these other athletes in NBA and NFL. We know about their family lives. We know what they like. We know about their fashion sense. We don't know that about baseball players. So I want to bring the star power of baseball to the forefront, and we are going to find the most interesting man in baseball.
I love it. I love everything about it.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you want to nominate someone, right?
Well, we have one specific team today.
From the?
New York Yankees. Yankees fans, we need to hear from you. Who is the most interesting man on the New York Yankees and why?
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Can we answer the question or we only
yes,
want
to? Yes,
we can answer the question.
I have some nominees.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with Alex Verdugo. He had a grill. Right? And he's got like, he's two chains, basically. He has enormous chains. He's iced out. Alex Verdugo, I find fascinating. He looks like cool. Or maybe you think he's not cool because he's got, but I mean, at some point, this guy had like the Paul Wall grill, basically, the rapper from Houston, that he's got the grill. So I'm going Alex Verdugo, most interesting man on the Yankees. So
I like it.
And a fun name to say, too.
Alex Verdugo, that's fun to say. Now, with that logic, does that mean Kirk Cousins is one of the most interesting men in the NFL? Because he has a chain now.
So do you see what just
happened?
Or a
grill, excuse me. He has chains and a grill.
Do you see what just happened here?
How I defer to the NFL?
Yes.
I know, I'm just...
But that's the problem, though, is that there's nobody that loves this sport more than you, and your first instinct is to do a comparison to a much bigger sport in the NFL.
I was just...
You're not wrong to do it.
But I'm trying to even break my own habits here.
Well, I'm giving you Alex Verdugo with his grill and his change.
I like it. As a Yankees fan, I'm going Clay Holmes, the guy that we want to know more about. Like, I mean, to say the closer for the New York Yankees, that's a high-profile job, high-profile gig. I mean, it was Aroldis Chapman once upon a time. Before that, you had the greatest to do it, the same man, Mariano Rivera. Like, the closer of the New York Yankees means something. So, Clay Holmes, I want to know more about you.
That's a really good one. Yeah. I was doing some research last night, and somebody that kept popping up to me, even though he's known, is Anthony Rizzo. He's been on SNL. He has a very cute wiener dog named Kevin. Anthony Rizzo, he's battled and overcame cancer. He is somebody who has lived an interesting life with a lot of chapters to it.
Totally agree on that one. By the way, I don't want to come off, and I know CeCe doesn't either, as insulting towards Trout. Trout doesn't want people to know who he is.
Yes, he wants to fly under the radar.
He works really hard so the 20 people in the Oklahoma supermarket don't know who he is.
Was that a pun? Because... Mike Trout loves the weather. Flying under the radar, I'm just saying. He's a big Doppler guy, Mike Trout.
I know.
Huge Doppler guy.
Big Doppler guy.
Yeah. Leave the corny jokes to me, please.
It's not corny.
He's
flying under the radar. He's a big weather guy.
He loves Jersey and his Philly teams, and he loves the weather. That's what we know about Mike Trout. And apparently he loves playing for the Angels.
he loves playing.
Jerry in Alabama listening on 95.7 in Auburn, Alabama. What's up, Jerry?
Good morning. One, I love you guys. I love this show. And I just have a really quick story. I used to work at Best Buy, and I was helping a gentleman one day gather up a bunch of stuff, went to put in his phone number to put it on his account, and it was Tim Hudson standing in front of me, and I had no idea.
See?
I mean,
Jerry,
he was a great pitcher, obviously, and thanks for the phone call with the Braves and the A's, obviously, a great pitcher. I mean, that's the kind of person, kind of player you would think you would recognize. I don't think there's one singular person, not one, not even Ohtani.
I mean, if you had him in a lineup, no, you wouldn't recognize him. You couldn't pick him out of a lineup. If you had him in a lineup, you couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
Do you disagree with that?
I don't, but I'm thinking about how many NFL players the average American could pick out of a lineup.
Well, but not as many as you think because of the helmets. I know that may sound stupid, but like the NFL actually blocks the faces. But Mahomes,
no,
for
but
sure.
But
you
but
see
Travis
the guys on
the
sidelines. You see the introduction.
The commercials.
The commercials, You recognize a lot of guys.
I would bet more people in America would recognize Tommy DeVito than some of these baseball players that we're talking about who are much bigger stars.
MVPs, though.
Yeah.
We're talking about MVPs in baseball.
But because
How many
Tommy DeVito had this, and he went viral because of his Italian heritage and was the big story around the NFL for at least three games because of his agent and his family. I think more people could recognize him. Well, he'd likely have a chain on, like a TD Italian chain. So people would be like, oh, yeah, isn't that Italian guy from the Giants? But that's my whole point. Tommy DeVito should not be more recognizable than Mike Trout.
I'm over it. Next on Sportsmanlike.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Pat, what do you have for us today?
How do people not like peanut butter? It blows me away. And I'm not, if you're allergic to peanut butter, that's different, obviously. But there are people who constantly say peanut butter is gross and doesn't taste good. And I watched a celebrity, we don't need to blast them for it, on TikTok, taste it for the first time and just crushed it. And I don't understand it. Peanut butter is fantastic.
I don't think you can have peanut butter by itself, though. Like, peanut butter in and of itself is a problem. Like, It has to have a vehicle to go alongside with it, though.
No.
I could eat peanut butter right off the spoon.
I don't know about that. I mean, it's just, it's really thick. It's, you know, I don't know how you navigate it just eating it by itself. Like, if you have peanut butter with cookies, okay, I get that. That makes sense. Peanut butter and jelly, I understand it. Peanut butter by itself out of the jar? Nah, I'm out on that.
It's delicious.
I agree. I'm with Pat on this one. I could walk around eating peanut butter off a spoon all day.
But don't give me the chunky. You're a psycho if you eat chunky peanut butter.
No, but I like any kind of peanut butter
sauce.
It's
got to be the creamy, not the chunky. The creamy peanut butter.
But any kind of sauce, like cold noodles with sesame sauce at the Chinese restaurant is my favorite thing. I love that. And all the peanut butter sauce, it's amazing. Peanut butter in the cookies, any kind of Reese's pieces.
Yeah, but it's a sauce. It's not actual.
Yeah, but it's all made out of peanut butter.
Sure, that's
everything
fine, but
peanut
it's
butter
not,
based.
It's not, yeah, but again, that's a vehicle for the peanut butter. They're talking about peanut butter like naked, like that. That's like just eating peanut butter.
Well,
off
is that
of
what
a
you're
spoon.
Saying, or any kind of?
No, he's talking about eating peanut butter off of a spoon.
Oh, well, I still would do that. I still like that.
I can't imagine anyone eating peanut butter for the first time and being like, ew, disgusting. Peanut butter is great. It's one of the most universally loved, I don't know if you call it a food, a condiment.
It's a condiment, right? No?
Oh, I think it's one of the most polarizing foods. I think
peanut
a lot
butter?
Of people, yeah.
I've like, never met one person that doesn't like peanut butter.
My wife doesn't like it, but she does not like any, like, it's like the biggest food fight we have.
She doesn't like peanut butter?
Not
That's
in on
shocking.
Peanut butter. Yeah.
Wow.
Also, not a popular food in the UK.
Why is that? Do we know?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a very American thing that we think is bigger than America.
Oh, bizarre.
Wow. Okay. Next one, Pat.
Okay, didn't know that.
Yeah. I missed the app Vine. It was so interesting, and it was so creative, and it was such a fun place to be. It was like if TikTok was good all the time, basically, because you only had the 6 seconds, so you had to make it interesting, and you had to grab people's attention, and I think it disappearing is, like, truly an internet tragedy.
Oh, an internet.
The Vines. The social, yeah.
People loved Vine.
I was never
on Vine, but people loved Vine.
Vines? Mm-hmm. It was cool. I mean,
it evolved to other things, though, in essence,
yeah,
right?
That's what I'm saying.
Instagram,
like shorts,
and TikTok,
you know,
shorts.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where it went.
I feel like people, though, are nostalgic for like the Tumblr era, the Vine era, where we had this, but it wasn't so oversaturated. Pat, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like people feel a certain type of way about that type of stuff because they liked it better than what we have now.
Yeah, it was just so much more creative, and it didn't feel as over the top with people just trying to get sponsored, ironically.
Sponsorship.
You literally have a sign next to you trying to get sponsored.
Yeah, Big Peanut Butter wants to come in.
Big Peanut Butter.
Big Peanut Butter.
Next one, Pat.
I think we should go back to the moon more. You can't convince me we've explored the moon enough. I think we've only explored about 5% of it, and I feel like that's just not enough. I mean, there has to be more on the moon that we just haven't figured out that's up there yet.
Are you volunteering?
I'd go to the moon.
Why? I ain't lost nothing up there, so I'm all good on going to the moon.
Yeah, I'm space, not for me.
Yeah, I'm just I don't understand it.
So many people want to buy a ticket to get on a rocket ship to go to space. I'm good. Yeah, I'm good with space.
I never would. I have no interest whatsoever. somebody else can figure it out.
Like, I just don't understand, like, why do we need to keep going back to the moon? Like,
Pat said we don't do it enough.
I guess they explored it. They went to the South Pole where there's supposed to be some ice. Or maybe there was ice once upon a time, so I guess they want to explore, see if there was life there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, once we check that box and answer that question, if there wasn't any life there, why do we need to keep going back?
It's just a rock. How do you know? You don't know what else is up there. We only explored 5% of it. We're just assuming we know.
Well, whatever's up there, Pat ain't bothering us, so what difference does it make?
Yeah, why do we care?
Yeah, why do we need to go back to the moon?
What if we have to move there one day?
If we have to move to the moon?
Why would you say something like that?
What? I'm just saying.
That's not going to happen in our lifetime.
How do you know?
Maybe our grandkids will have to live on the moon.
You think our grandkids are going to have to live on the moon?
Maybe.
I'll bet you a dollar that doesn't have to happen.
You wouldn't want to live on the moon?
You'll never spend it if you win.
I mean, live on the moon?
It'd be awesome.
Well, I don't know.
Why would that be awesome, though, Pat?
Because it's the moon.
You wouldn't be able to go outside without a spacesuit? Like, what, I don't understand.
Yeah, you'd be on the moon. It'd be cool.
Okay.
Next one, Pat.
The James Bond movies stink, and they're not cool, and they're not entertaining, and I don't get why anyone ever likes them. Every single one I've watched has been boring. Every single one of them. Well, and particularly I hate Skyfall because the plot of it is garbage, and people love it for some reason.
This is a personal attack. I have a family member that was in a James Bond movie.
Ooh. Oh, really?
And I think that this is one of your worst takes ever, Pat, because James Bond is an iconic franchise and an iconic figure in cinema history.
A very boring one.
I've never seen a single James Bond movie in my life.
You're not missing anything.
My grandpa's in it.
For real?
Yeah. He's Billy Bob. He gets, spoiler alert, knocked over the head and they steal his boat.
Like a main role in it?
No, not a main role, but he's in it.
Was he an actor or like that was just like a one-off kind of thing?
I think he was in one other movie. He was really interesting. He was the bat boy for the Cardinals and the Browns back in the day. And the other bat boy with him was Bill DeWitt, who ended up being the owner of the Cardinals. So yeah, my grandpa went on. He like helped build the arch. He had a carpet store. He was in movies.
There's the most interesting man in baseball right there. Smalls' grandfather. I didn't realize. So Bill DeWitt went from bat boy to owning the Cardinals.
Yeah.
That is remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
Can we put him as a nominee? Can we put the DeWitt family as a nominee?
I'm out on the James Bond now. Like Daniel Craig, I was never a big fan of him being James Bond. But how could you not be in on Pierce Brosnan and Roger Moore and Sean Connery? Like how are you not in on them being James Bond?
Oh, because it's boring.
No, it's not boring, Pat.
They're bad movies.
No, it's not. It's not a bad movie. Just because you can't appreciate how good they are doesn't make it a bad movie.
I can appreciate how boring they are.
They're not boring.
They're very boring.
It's an action movie. What are you talking about?
It's not boring. They're not. Okay. They stink.
If James Bond is not an action movie?
I mean, they are technically, but they stink.
What? It's not an action movie. All right.
So if James Bond is boring, what type of films do you find interesting or exciting?
Sorry, Nuno just started laughing because he knows that I'm going to say the Fast and Furious movies.
Oh, here we go.
They're amazing.
It's the same movie on a loop. It's literally the same movie on a loop.
You've seen all of them?
Yeah, every single one multiple times.
Oh my gosh.
It's the same movie on a loop.
Totally.
They're so good.
About them using cars to save the world.
Well, if you like cars driving fast.
You got more drama in a NASCAR race than you do in the Fast and Furious movies. Hey, they're making lefts all day long, but you got more drama in there on a NASCAR track than you do a Fast and the Furious movie. I'm just saying.
There's more family in Fast and Furious.
More family? Okay.
So that's your favorite movie ever? Any genre?
What? It's my favorite franchise ever.
But, like, your favorite movie ever.
No, it's not my favorite movie ever. It's my favorite franchise,
though. The Fast and the Furious movie. He is why they keep...
He's loyal.
What they got 10 of them out there now?
Something like that.
He's the reason why they keep making them every single year.
Let's just say this. Summer. Probably, like, 7 too many.
Yeah, right?
How dare you? How actually dare you? Fast 5 is unironically just an incredible movie. That's the one that The Rock's in for the first time. So good.
Didn't they do one like in Japan?
Tokyo Drift. Amazing.
Tokyo Drift.
So good.
They can drift on away with that film franchise. I hope. I'm over it.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Canty, and Michelle.